Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night.
Yeah.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Nope.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sing.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No,
I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got 3 good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook, they call it right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Budget Live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern Middle Tennessee. And this is the podcast for Monday, February the 27th. And I hope all you lowlifers out there are doing well. If you're just tuning in for the first time, you're wondering what a lowlifer is. Well, that is what the listeners of this fine program refer to themselves as. And they're a loyal, loyal bunch. So welcome. You are now a lowlifer. And speaking of lowlifers... Big announcement. One more time for the girls downtown. Come on. Big announcement. March the 25th at the wonderful Bassmaster Classic on good old Rocky Top there in Knoxville, Tennessee. We are going to be having our shindig. We have the location at The Hill Bar and Grill. The Hill. It's like 200 yards from the convention center, man. We are going to have an outdoor, got a gigantic tent. We're going to be in the parking lot there at the Hill. We're going to have a stage. We're going to be throwing down together, fellowshipping, having some drinks, playing some music. Myself, Shannon Wheeler, special guest. That's all I'm going to say. Guest, plural. Ironing out some things, but I promise you, it's going to be a party you do not want to miss. If you are a lowlifer, this is for you. We are throwing this. It's a meetup, whatever you want to call it. We are going to throw down in Knoxville. My buddy Shannon Wheeler on fiddle. We're going to do. We're just going to hang out with you all, meet you. And so many of y'all have messaged me about that. I'll be posting more about it on social media, but about a month from now, we're going to throw down in good old Rocky Top, and I can't wait. Thanks to Trevor at The Hill for making all this happen. Barstool did a big event there this fall. It is the place in Knoxville, and I could not be more proud to bring the lowlifers there. It's a great establishment. So The Hill, let's go. Let's go. Spread the word. If you're coming to Knoxville, I want you there. We are probably kick off about 7 o'clock that night, 8 o'clock, something like that. Times will be announced, but I promise you, if I can put everything together that I'm trying to, we are going to have a large time that night, okay? Just trust me on that. Play some music, fellowship, and sharing some beverages. Come on out to The Hill March 25th. All right. Been excited about that. Been working on that. Keep saying that. We didn't do one in Greenville. That was, you know, of epic proportions, and it just feels right. Good old Rocky Top to bring it back around there. You know, fingers crossed the weather's good. The weather's been beautiful around here lately, but I'm sure the last week of March we'll have sleet, snow, and sideways rain and locusts and everything else that you could have from the Bible that week. But going to do a parking lot party, low budget style. Come on, man. I'm really excited. I got all that taken care of this past week with Trevor, and could not be more fired up about that. Couldn't be more fired up about all this crazy lighting that I've got now. New camera, trying some different things. I'm not a cameraman. I'm not a lighting expert. I can barely run audio, even though I've been a musician for years. Y'all know that. You listen to me every week. We are exceeding past low budget, though. We're going to have to change the name of the show at some point, like Sammy George said last week. There'll be a new look coming. It'll probably be April before I get there, to be honest. changing up the bar and grill a little bit. The bar obviously is permanent right here, but probably won't do the show from the bar anymore. I've got some different ideas, just want to change it up a little bit. So been doing it the same way for a long time. I got ADD. I get antsy. We're going to change it up. We are going to change it up. But playing around with some lighting, some different things to try to make it pop. If you are listening to this going down the road on many of the audio platforms, you're like, I don't give a absolute. I mean, Luke, nobody cares. Nobody cares. But for the YouTube world and for clips for social media and things, man, I wanted to look a little cleaner, and so I'm working on that. I'm not there yet, but certainly going to get it there. And the people besides all you low-lifers that make this possible are the sponsors of this fine show, starting with StarTron, StarBright, kicking ethanol in the teeth, in your chainsaw, in your weed eater. But most importantly, in that outboard engine, because stupid, dumb ethanol ruins outboard engines on a daily basis. It ruins vehicles. It ruins anything that you let it set up in there and soak like a freeloader that it is. Little dab will do you, StarTron. You can get this stuff basically everywhere. It is sold nationwide. I can think of more places that carry it than don't at this point, right? This bottle right here, 16-ounce bottle, treats 256 gallons of fuel. Kick it in the teeth with some StarTron. Get ethanol out of there. We appreciate the folks from StarTron bringing you LBL for a long time now. ProGuide batteries. There are lots of people in the battery world now, especially in that lithium, man. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry got a lithium battery now. They do. In their garage, it's like they're pulling out the coat like their son you watches in New York City. Hey, you want some lithiums? Look, I got some lithiums, young man. Look at these lithiums. We got the power. We got all the power. I can tell you right now, some of them folks are shady. You don't want to go down that road because, I mean, obviously, power, your battery, is your connection to all your graphs, everything. You don't want a weak link, and you don't want something that's dangerous. And in that lithium world, you just never know. So I can tell you one thing. The folks from ProGuide Batteries, great, great company to work with. They are great, long-standing people in this marine world. They've been making batteries for the OEM side of the boating industry for many, many, many moons now, from their AGMs, lead acids back in the day. I'm running their 31 series AGM cranking, and I'm running those lithium trolling motor batteries this year. You can get them for yourself at ProGuideBatteries.com. Use code LBL10, LBL10, to save you some money and let them know you are a low lifer. Baitworks.com, bait-works.com. That LOB jig, that little trocar hook carrying daggum fish snatcher, available in six beautiful colors. The low-budget live Luke Duncan LOB jig, I should say. We got, a signature on the package. We got a low-budget live logo on there, so it's for all you low-lifers. Go get it. Go support us. Duncan-10 saves you some money on everything there at Baitworks, all products. But go get you some of them LOB jigs. Baitworks.com, bait-works.com. And last but not least, hang the banner right here behind me, illuminated beautifully. The Bassmaster Classic winning high performance, all welded 21-foot aluminum bass boat beast of a machine. The Express X21 Pro LE is what I'm running this year, pushed by that 250 Yamaha show. More tackle storage than any man could ever need. Beautiful live wells. Best hole shot in the game. Sea deck. Bow to stern. Go take a ride. You will not be disappointed. I love my Express. The only thing I don't like about it right now is it sits in the garage more than it is on the water. We're fixing to change that, though. Trust me. Sooner than later. Express boats building excitement since 1966. And another Bassmaster Classic note that I've told you all about, but gonna keep bringing it until we're there. In the Express Boats booth on Saturday of the Classic, the same day as the live party, live podcast, Express booth, come on out. Lots of guests lined up for that already as well. Probably some surprise guests if it's been like the last couple of years that we've done it there. Have a great time propped up on an Express X21, bringing you low budget live. I'm sure Mr. Herndon, Rory Herndon, will join us again. He's always a great guest and a great time. there, and many, many others from the industry will join us that day. Saturday, I'll drop a time when we get closer, but I'm sure around 1 or 2 p.m. we'll be rocking and rolling there in the Express booth. All right? Okay, moving on. Moving on. Congrats to Tyler Rivette. Swole Patrol Tyler Rivette. Mr. Flexing on them all the time. For a big win at Okeechobee. Oh, my God. If you would have ever told me, that LiveScope would have dominated Okeechobee, man, in the first Elite of the year. I just missed that. There were so many guys that that didn't get locked in, and that Kissimmee River deal that he got on was awesome. I have fished in that Kissimmee River over the years. Lots of bass there. Really cool that he was able to exploit it for 4 days and win. Congrats. I like seeing the new faces. Shouldn't say new. I mean, Tyler's been around, but I like seeing those guys win that have never had a win, man. I know what it means to them. You can see his family there on stage, and you can see the emotion in him as he was getting it done out on the water. And so congrats to Tyler. Want to do a pod with Tyler at some point, man. He is he's an interesting guy, and I think as I recording this a couple days early from Monday, the Elite at Seminole is still going on. He's having a hell of an event down there as well. So on a roll, man. Once you get that bug going, it can sure be something else. So congrats to Tyler Rivette on a big win. Congrats to freaking Chris Lane, man. A lot's happened since I saw you guys last. Chris Lane, I was glued to that BPT with the five fish format last week when that was going on, man, or 2 weeks ago now as this airs. So, because I recorded last week's episode early as well. So much fun to watch. A buzzer beater 5-pounder. You don't get to say that in bass fishing very much, but with that format, getting the fish up till the end with the live coverage, they cover it until the very last second. Buzzer beater 5-pounder to beat the legend, Mark Davis. Absolute legend. Drops 34 pounds in that event in the knockout round there. And I got to say, man, they had a great event. They had a great event. A lot of bigs came across the scales there, and in the boats, of course, no weigh-ins. But it was really cool to see those guys, and Jacob Wheeler and I talked about this on the show, but to see the strategy come out with the real-time scoring in a five-fish format, because all those guys grew up on five, obviously, like the rest of the tournament fishing world, but having the ability to see what everybody else has got. It was cool watching them make decisions, man. So I really enjoyed that. The Toho event, also obviously the Bassmaster Elite event, really enjoyed it too. It was great. A lot of freaking bigs getting caught up shallow, swim jigging around. Like I say all the time, that braid. Yeah! There was a lot of that going on at both the Kissimmee Chain and Okeechobee. But I just wish that, and I've wished this for a long time, that the schedules weren't on top of each other so much in bass fishing. If we could all just figure that out at some point, because it sucks bouncing back and forth, because I want to watch. I got friends on each, and I love my buddy JT Kenny. I like watching JT, and I love watching my buddy little Ronnie Moore, little Ron, and Zona and Tommy there, and their coverage is just fantastic. So I like watching that, man. I like watching them as much as I can, but when I got to flip back and forth, it's very frustrating for me. So personally, take care of that, leagues. And MPFL the same way. There's all a jumbled up mess all the time for live coverage. That's for sure. It's hard to get the slate clean. That's for sure, where you're not on top of somebody. But I thought that was pretty damn cool moment for Chris there. I've known Chris a minute, and big win for him. First one over there on that with that group of guys. But I loved some of the weights were kind of low because they fall on a cold front. And I saw some comments, well, I guess these guys forgot how to fish for fives. Yeah. Yeah, they did. They probably did. Mark Davis, 34 pounds. 34 pounds. Some giant stringers. And I would also like to point out the Jacob Wheeler on a buzzer beater by Andy Morgan in the knockout round ended up finishing 11th. First guy out because Andy caught a 6-pounder with like seconds to go as well. So he still knows how to catch them, y'all, in case you're wondering. It doesn't matter what the format is, but real cool event, man. Real cool event. Loved it. Moving on. I want to say I got to take the triple threat down to down to Miami for the Miami Boat Show. Saw some of you lowlivers down there. Had a good time talking with y'all as I was roaming around the boat show. But then we slid down there to them Florida Keys. And I will just tell you right now, if I come up missing, and this show just goes off the air forever, it's because I have relocated. And I'm living down there barefoot and broke in the Florida Keys. Because, damn, I had me a time down there. Had me a time. Also, real quick, before we get into our guest, got a fantastic guest today. But before we get into that, a lot of y'all asked me health updates. So this past week, I had an echocardiogram, I think they call it, ultrasound basically in my heart to make sure there's no physical damage. My symptoms have lessened in the last few weeks. Wore a heart monitor for 14 days, and basically they're just trying to sort it out. They're still leaning on that post-COVID pericarditis, whatever in the hell that is, and in this new post-COVID world, not sure, but feeling better, man. I'm been trying to eat better, and I'm starting to exercise again. I've been off my game for a while, so you know, just gonna try to get healthier. Just that scared the hell out of me, I'm not gonna lie. And yeah, I still have not gotten the results from received the results from the test that I had done, that echocardiogram. So hopefully this week I will get that. But appreciate the thoughts and prayers and the warm wishes and all y'all lowlifers reaching out about my health and sharing your experiences with basically the same thing I've been going on. So many have reached out and said, man, this is what I've had going. And it's been honestly comforting to read some of the things of very similar situations, and guys are like, hey, I'm okay, and went through that for 3 or 4 months with after COVID, and it's been really refreshing reading some of that. So thank y'all for reaching out. All right, today's guest, we're gonna get the sauce brought to you by the W Sauce, America's Worcestershire sauce. We just call it the W Sauce around the bar and grill. Fantastic on pork chops, chicken, in a Bloody Mary, you name it. We have the original W Sauce and Fire Shire. I'm a weenie when it comes to eating hot things, so I don't dive off into the Fire Shire very much. The Triple Threat likes it. I am a sissy in that regard. Don't like the spicy food, but the W Sauce bringing you the sauce. And this guy right here is he's in the hot seat. He's in the hot seat a lot, and as tournament organization officials can tend to be. In this social media driven world where everybody's got an opinion, they don't understand that you have to run a business as such. Bass fishing organizations aren't charities. They are businesses at the end of the day, regardless of what any of us think or feel about decisions they make. And he reached out to me, wanted to come on to talk about some of the changes to the Bass Nation. Big changes, and I know I got a lot of listeners that are nation guys out there. It's a really, really huge foundation for our sport, that the at just that ground level where it all starts, and those are the weekend warrior freaking nose to the grindstone guys that make this industry tick. And big changes. So ladies and gentlemen, to explain this, we're going to catch up with him about it. Bassmaster's very own Hank Weldon. All right, as promised, here he is, the man with the plan from Bassmaster, Hank Weldon. Hank, I appreciate you coming on, buddy.
And I'm excited. I need a LBL hat because I feel like I watch everything, man. I'm like the number one fan that you don't realize. So,
well, do you need me to sign one? That'll devalue it.
Oh yeah, hey, get in the background. Yeah, that's right.
Listen, I need you to please text Mac Pangrack and tell him that you need an LBL hat. Yes. More than, yes, a BCL hat. Mac's my buddy. I give him a hard time, dude. I feel like more than a hat, you've got a target on your back. In the last year a little bit. I think that's fair, because every time a press release comes out, oh, we're making some changes, it's like direct quote from Hank in there. And Hank Weldon, they're coming with pitchforks a lot of times. But man, you know, I've applauded a lot of the changes. I had you on about the EQ change, thought it was great. And now this past week, you guys got a big announcement, this Federation Nation change, Bass Nation, it's changing. And I am, you told me a little bit about this idea, which I appreciated. You called last fall and we're kind of, hey, this is what we're kicking around. And I love it. I love it. Yeah. Being a former club fisherman, I mean, that's what, how I got my start at, in bass fishing and in tournaments. And it's such a great place to start. But that federation, that that nation has been a constant in our sport as long as I can remember. Some historical moments with it, but guys go to the freaking classic. They go to the elites now. But let's talk about these changes because I know that, you know, it, we live in the time, in the day where everybody's got an opinion.
Right.
And people are going to comment. So let's talk it through. Explain the changes, and where we're headed with this.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, so this was in reaction to the EQs. Like you said, we kind of started kicking the tires around probably even this time last year. We knew that there was going to be a void to that angler that couldn't necessarily, you know, accommodate or be able to compete in nine tournaments, you know, with the announcement of the EQ. So we're like, okay, so what do we have? What does Bass have that we can mold shape a little bit? And we've been using the word modernize a little bit because, you know, let's go back in the day, you know, when you and your dad were going to fish a tournament, it was like everybody was in one line. They were going to one lake on that Saturday. Now you come to a red light. You got cars going this way, you know, boats going this way, boats going that way, boats going. Everybody's going to their own lake and having their 15 boat tournament here and 15 boat tournament there, et cetera. And it's just, there's just so much to fish out there now. So we were like, well, what can we do that keeps the club structure where it is? Because that is, like you said, that is a staple of Bass. You know, we've had other groups come in and try to duplicate it, you know, that sort of thing. But that is a staple of Bass since 1983. That was when the Nation Club started all the way back in the day and really got going in the 90s, you know, with Brian Kershaw, et cetera. Yes. But what we've also learned, that's like way back in the day. But what we also learned, though, is the club is not for everybody, right? And we've got all these junior clubs, high school clubs, college clubs, and as they're leaving, we're not retaining some of those anglers. So we're like, what can we do that will preserve the clubs, but also give that angler that maybe the club atmosphere is not for that angler an opportunity? And when I mean opportunity is an opportunity to get to the Bassmaster Classic. We're the only company in the world that has the ability to pit anglers into the Bassmaster Classic. And we want to be able to give anglers that opportunity. And we know that's important. So that's what we did. And, you know, I know it can be confusing, but if you want to dive into the format, we can, you know, some questions. Yeah.
So you and I talked about it a little bit and I reading the press release. I think it is good to kind of break it down exactly what's going on. I mean, from the old structure to the new structure, I think it's great to do that for people from your mouth, from the Bass perspective. Here is how it's going to work.
Yeah. So that's what we've done is we've really kind of taken the model that we built with high school, college, junior. You know, we've been steady at molding that model since 2011, really. So we felt like we had gotten a good working model that we could put into the adult side of things, because that membership number, make no mistake, it's about driving membership, a lot of it, right? You know, and that's what we're after too. You know, giving more, if more anglers have more opportunities, that means more memberships for Bass. You know, that's there's no hiding that. But you know,
it's
so
still a business, right? Bassmaster.
That's right. That's right.
People forget sometimes. People forget that it's not a charity. It is still a business at the end of the day. All these organizations, right?
That's right. So let's take you for an example. So Luke Duncan, you are a member, or you have been a member of a Bass club before.
Tennessee, Alabama, baby. Tennessee, right. Alabama club, Lawrenceburg, Tennessee.
There you go. Yep. Still is a vibrant club, still can run their normal things. But here's the difference. So years past and this year, this is the final year of the current format. Your club would fish, I'm guessing y'all would have either fished in Alabama or Tennessee and or both.
But
you would fish. Yeah. So you would fish in the Tennessee Bass Nation structure. Then Tennessee Bass Nation would form a 20-person team and they would go on to a regional and you'd fish for Tennessee. But then also the top angler at that regional, there's five of those, would move on to the Bass Nation Championship. So top boater, top co-angler, only two people from the state of Tennessee. So what's and then, you know, you compete in the nation championship. Top three move on to the classic. The winner goes on to the Elite Series. Shout out to Will Davis Jr. Had a great day.
Yeah, shout out to Little Will.
You know, our champ right now. So, you know, it's those anglers are out there. So the difference is, though, now is Luke Duncan can fish in that Tennessee-Alabama fishing club in the state of Tennessee or in the state of Alabama. But now, instead of pitting a 20-person team to go on to a regional, the state of Tennessee will now qualify anglers directly to the Bass Nation Championship. And more than one, we will prorate that based off of their current in-state membership. And I need to look at my computer, but Tennessee is a good state. I want to say they have five or six berths. You can't, don't quote me on that exactly. But what that means is that's five boaters, five non-boaters, straight to the Nation Championship.
With a chance no regional of the anymore.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, and so that nation championship is going to be a 250 boat tournament. So a big tournament. But, you know, what we've said is now Luke Duncan has the individual angler has more chances to get to the tournament, right? You can't qualify for the classic if you can't get there. Right. So in addition to that, so that's kind of the club structure, right? You still normal operations. The only difference is what you're qualifying to in your state. But now we're installing four qualifiers. And what that means is now Luke Duncan still have to be a Bass Nation member. I want to make sure your listeners hear that. You have to be a Bass Nation member.
Got to wear that patch. You got to have right. that patch.
That's right. We're not taking that away. You know, we're still core focus with the Bass Nation. This is a on top of your Bass membership. And that's more for the listeners of thinking we're taking away that. We're not taking away that. They're still members, still have to affiliate with their state. So now, Luke, the club atmosphere, the club format isn't for you. You don't have time to go to meetings, whatever it may be. You know, you're working. But if you got a qualifier, let's say we bring a qualifier, there's four of those. We bring one to Gunnersville or to Wheeler. That is open to any Bass Nation member. As long as you're a Bass Nation member and you sign up in time, 250 boats, you're in that tournament. And there'll be an entry fee. There'll be a payback for that tournament. It's a $400 boater entry fee, $200 co-angler entry fee. So, you know, a little bit above like your BFL, something like that, because it will be a three-day tournament. But, you know, it's going to be a really cool, I feel like, tournament. For those Bass Nation members, and we'll open those registrations. Yeah, go ahead.
All 250 fish all 3 days in those. Is that the format?
No, we'll cut it down. We don't know the exact cut yet. We're working with the presidents of the Bass Nations, but probably around 30 boats, something like that. You know,
that's cool.
Payback 40 to 50 places. So, you know, it'll look a lot like some of our other tournaments. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But with a much cheaper buy-in. And if you finish in the top 20 in those top 20 boaters, top 20 co-anglers, you punch your ticket to the Nation Championship. So again, everything leading Nation Championship entry fee free, no entry. And, we can't push this yet, but it's, you know, the Nation, we've always learned it's not about the money, but the money's nice. Let's not lie about that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to be a good sizable payout for the Nation Championship, including, you know, nothing we lose in terms of Bassmaster Classic spots, still the top three. The champion will move on to the Elite Series. They'll get $16,000 towards their entry fees to the Elite's use of a boat if they want it for the year. So, you know, it's out there. And then what I want your listeners to realize is, okay, you're in your club, you're still good to go as long as you're an active Bass Nation member. If you've never been in a club and you want to try to get into a qualifier, get a hold of your nation president with the state you live in, pay your Bass Nation membership, enter that tournament, $400 entry fee, you're eligible for this format. So it's giving way many more opportunities to the individual angler to get to the Nation Championship with a shot at the Classic and the Elite Series.
To me, if you're listening to this, because we've seen a lot of, I've given a hard time about the working man comments, right? The working man, you took my chance away for the Elite. You took my chance away for the Classic. Not necessarily, but you can still fish a single division of the Opens, make the Classic. But
right.
there are a lot of complaining Of course, the numbers speak for themselves on what people actually thought about it. So we'll get to that in a minute. But I feel like what you've done with this, what Bass has done, is you've made it a little more, I don't want to say easy, but for me, right, as an angler, like as you're talking, like I'm getting fired up because I'm thinking, dude, I can fish one event, and I can walk into a chance at the freaking Classic and the Elites. I mean, dude, that is, when you start talking about the nine opens and what you got to do to qualify for the Elites, if you are a weekend guy that does not have time, this is the setup. Now, look, there's only going to be one.
That's right.
But and essentially, you've got to beat 500 guys, the way I look at it, right, to get there. But, man, I think it's a fantastic opportunity, man. I don't know. I get where you said the modernization of this. I love that take because bass fishing is old school, right? We know that. We see that with the forward-facing sonar debates and the different things that we constantly see on social media. But I do feel like the nation has been a little stagnant, maybe. You know what I mean? Or confusing for a guy like me that keeps up with the sport. Right. You're saying you had all the regionals and the different things and that process to get to that nation championship. Now, granted, it was fewer boats. I will say that it was fewer boats, marquee event. I don't think anything will change about it being a marquee event, regardless of the number of competitors. But it was a little confusing in how you get there. There's a lot of layers to that onion. And now, if I'm a kid in high school, if I'm a guy that just gets out of college, if I'm a guy that loves that club level, that weekend atmosphere, I've got a freaking two tournament chance.
You got a chance.
That's right. I love that.
Yeah. And then you touched on that, the economics of it. You know, it's, some people are like, well, we're just budget cutting. We're not budget cutting. I can promise you this is going to be more expensive on Bass to run this style of format.
Absolutely.
You know, it's, but what it does allow from a budget stance is now states are not funding that 20 person team because most states 100% funded that. They're able to pour those resources back in their in-state run events, really boost those events. That's what we've challenged our presidents to do. And, you know, hopefully there's more money out there for those guys in terms of what they can win locally, you know, that they can go fish, sleep in their own bed and potentially qualify for this nation championship. And then when you get to the championship, you're right, it's going to be a big event. I mean, we're going to bring our Elite Series set up in terms of our staging, our equipment, all of that. You know, we can't do the boatyard. Everybody's talking about the boatyard. I just can't park a 250 boats in a boatyard and hook them and unhook them twice daily into the water. But we've got some things that are going to keep this event prestigious and you know, an event that every angler will be proud of making. You know, that's something we are dedicated to, and we know we have to do and we want to do. So
See this being right in line with your Bassmaster Team Championship as well, which is a fantastic event. But you've got to, if you fish your whatever team series you're involved in, you qualify for the team championship, boom, you got a chance at the Classic. It's another great opportunity for a guy that can't necessarily chase the Opens. Look, I'll be honest with you. You know me, I fish the Opens. I fish the FLW Tour for many years, but where I'm at in life right now with my career at TH Marine, with the podcast, with a lot of things, I don't have time for nine Opens.
Right.
I do not. Now, not necessarily trying to make the Elite Series anymore. That's not necessarily on my list of dreams, but if you told me tomorrow that I was going to get pulled through Thompson Bowling Arena in Knoxville at the end of next month, I would certainly tell you that would be a dream come true for me. And it's still something that I'll never give up my entire life. And so this does open doors for guys like myself, like you mentioned, Tennessee and Alabama. If you pay in both, I mean, essentially you could pay to be a member, right, in any state. You could chase this as much as you wanted to.
And you get in all four qualifiers if there's spots for it. You know, that those are going to move around. They're going to not be, you know, like we had a Southeast tournament every year. We had a central tournament, a mid-Atlantic, you know, in those different regions, they're bounce around. You know, we're going to try to strategically put them in places where our core membership can reach those, but they're going to move around. I mean, and we're going to hit those big lakes at the right time, you know, like what I think we're doing with the Open Series.
Yes.
You know, so it's exciting, you know, and that's what that was the main point I wanted to get home is change is never fun. We know that. And I will tell you that the due diligence process and the people we talk to with developing this program, I mean, it's 10 months in the making, you know, and really looking at it, and we're a year out still from launching it. You know, this starts after the Nation Championship that this fall. That's when the new format rolls in. So, but you know, the one thing it does that no one can argue is it gives more opportunities to the individual or club angler to get to the Nation Championship. There's no denying that. The door has been opened, and in my opinion, clearly there's great anglers out there. The Nation guys have done fantastic before, but the caliber angler just went up again. The level of competition went up at the snap of a finger, in my opinion. So, nothing, I mean, those guys are great. You know, we've got great anglers, but just by sheer number of averages, it's elevated again.
Well, I think that that's actually something I had on my list to talk to you about is overall with the EQs, you're talking about that level of angler. Now going forward, I think obviously it is a gauntlet to get to the Elite Series, regardless whether it was the old format, the new format, whatever the case is. It's very difficult to talk about on this show all the time. I call the opens purgatory. You know that. I say it lovingly. You can, yeah. But you can get get caught in that washing machine of the opens and beat. Look at Sammy George. We talked about him earlier today. One of my best buds. He's been there for so long, and the guy is an Elite Series caliber angler. He is. He can compete at that level. I have no doubt, man. From a young age, he could do that. But he's been so close just for one reason or another. But I think with this, the amount of super talented anglers are going to show up in the Nation. You better put your big boy pants on if you're going to.
I'm telling you, man.
Look, the Nation has always been, I think, the hardest road to get to classic. But just through the hoops that you have to go through and the freaking local talent, regional talent you have to cross to get there. Those guys that make it always earn it, man. They do. And this will just take it up another notch. We're going to see, you'll see a guy. Well, you look, Will Davis. I mean, a guy like Polinick, dude,
came to the Nation.
I mean, it's such a perfect example of it.
Right.
You guys are ready to compete when they get to the Elite Series. Well, man, I think it's great. I do want to switch gears with you though. Like
talking
about this EQ deal and we're talking about this level of talent. How crazy is the field from this year? The nine guys we're going to take to the Elite Series next year. No offense to any other graduating class from the Opens, but I think this year has the potential to be the stoutest we've ever seen.
It's going to be intense. You know, we kick off next week, and then when we open Reg, you know, I've got the ticker up and I'm watching as they just start coming in and they're flowing in. Like when I hit refresh, it's flowing in every 10 seconds, it's 20 more anglers. And I'm like, when's it going to stop? You know, and after about 6 hours, we were sitting on 150 and we were hoping for 100, you know, so you're right. I mean, so, you know, that it's added a lot of stress, obviously, because, you know, you feel a lot of weight on delivering a product that these anglers are committing to. So, but, you know, I will say that I feel like we're going to do that. We've got a lot of cool stuff in store, you know, that what you're going to see is, we can't, you know, we're not going to cover it at elite level, but we're going to get right there on the line, you know, on our coverage and giving these anglers. I heard Sam talk about it last week where he said, I can't remember if he said it's easier this year to get sponsors because you're committing to all nine, but it's a more conducive format to get sponsors. And that kind of resonated with me. I was like, okay, well, you know, that's an even more heavyweight burden on us. That's okay. It should be that way to deliver a product that helps these anglers and creates a platform that they can promote themselves on, which has always been Bass's motto. You know, we're going to give you the platform and you can promote yourself and create your brand. But yeah, I mean, 170, I think we're down to 172. We have one angler back out due to some family reasons, but that's okay. You know, and we wish them well, but you know, will we sustain that? I don't know, man. I'm thinking 120, something like that, you know, years out.
Yeah.
I'm thinking some guys are going to be like, I don't want to get, after they see what happens this year, they might underdog. Be like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I want to do that. So
I told the guy from MPFL, because, you know, we're fishing 80 boats this year and we had a lot of our anglers go to the EQ format and rightfully so, totally get it. Chasing the elites, chasing the classic. And it's something I told those guys. I said, listen, in 2024, there are going to be a lot of anglers, I feel like, looking for a home when they go over there and realize, oh boy, oh boy, this was, yeah. This might not have been a good decision. This is not because the tournaments aren't well ran, but it is, I don't think it's so hard to describe to people how difficult the Opens are. I can't get it across. I try to say it on here all the time, and I feel like a broken record. I see it in the comments. Like, we get it. You talk about the Opens. They're difficult. You just have no idea, man. When people nitpick, because you'd get the armchair quarterbacks nitpicking a guy's finish. Listen, if you finish 60th in an Open, no, it's not a top 10, but you have done something. Pangrack and I were talking about this last night. I said, man, I hope you win all nine of them, just giving him a hard time. And he said, I'll start with a top 50. That's the mentality.
Yeah.
You can't have a bad one. With nine, you got a little bit more room for a slip up, but not really. Not with the field you guys have, not with the number of anglers. You have got to catch them at all nine events. But I think more than anything, what we're headed into this year with your extended coverage you guys are going to do, or the addition of the coverage of the EQs, is the storylines that will come out of the Opens this year, if you're a fishing fan, I just think are going to be so prime. We all crave content, right? We're all watching as much as we can and reading articles.
Right.
I'm obsessed with photo galleries. And I just think everything that's going to come from the Opens this year is just, and I've always kept up with it, but I think if you're a casual fan that only watches the elites, or you watch BPT, whatever you're into, you need to pay attention to the Opens this year, because it's going to get wild. About halfway through, whew, it's going to be interesting to see who's potentially in, potentially out. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to – that's when the fun will kick in for me, because that's when people start getting cranky, you know, that kind of stuff. But that's okay. It's all right. It's going to be intense. You're right. So, but that's why I was so excited about the season. You know, we got the off-limits.
Yeah, loved it.
And it's going to keep anglers off. So it's going to be interesting to see how those anglers – they do have a long practice, so, you know, we'll look at that. They get like 5 days right now. Not like, that's what they get. They get 5 days of practice. And you know, during the off limits, they're allowed to talk to people. That's simply designed to keep anglers off 3 weeks at a time and just beating the lakes up. So I'm hoping the lakes perform better, because they just haven't been hammered on for 3 weeks, sometimes 4 weeks. And the new places we're going to, you know, hopefully that's going to level out some angling ability too, and not just anglers fishing on history and they got to figure out something. So we'll see. I'm excited about it.
I love the fact that you guys aren't starting till really the first week of March. Like, I think that's forget January and February, man. Let's stop with all that, with these tournaments. I mean, I know we got to get them in and all that, but man, that's something. The first year of the NPFL, we started in March. I'm like, yes, we actually started at Eufaula. So I think that, and it was a slugfest. Like, I think that the guys are going to absolutely smash down there.
Yeah.
I know you're looking at being a Bama boy. Like, that's cool to kick off this new EQ down there.
The dogwoods are blooming already. It's weird, man. The yellow pollen is out. And so we're trending like 3 weeks ahead of time. So I would say, even though we're starting early March, it's really almost like a mid-March, you know, early April start. So I'm, you know, and there's no like real, we got some rain forecast this week, but it's not any like, you know, going to fall to the 30s. It's going to be like raining in 72 degrees. So those bass ought to be hungry. And we know there's some big ones in Eufaula.
No doubt. Well, you see right down the chain what's going on at Seminole with the Elite. Of course, we're recording this a couple days early from Monday post date, but fish on the bed, fish dirt shallow. I mean, even in southern Tennessee right now, the water's like 55, which is stupid for the end of February. Yeah. I know we've got snow coming at some point. It'll probably be about
it will happen,
I'm sure.
We'll say mid-March, you know, in Knoxville, Tennessee, it'll probably snow that week.
Don't even say that. We got to look like a live there. Come on, we can't have that. I know you got a tournament around Low Budget Live. At the Classic, there's a little derby going on too, but that'll probably happen. We won't be able to get up and down the hills of Knoxville because of ice and sleet. I'm fully planning on that happening.
You know, we always said, you know, if you want to break a drought or, you know, cool it off or whatever, bring a bass tournament in. We'll be happy to do it for you. Never fails.
FLW stood for freaking lousy weather. Trust me. Trust me. Some of the most miserable days of my life were fishing FLW Tour events. Like, what? Why are we doing this? Why are we here today?
I know, man. I'm telling you.
And that March time frame in the South, like, you know, especially in Tennessee, the weather is so volatile. You could have tornadoes or you could have frostbite on your sunburn. I mean, you never know what could happen from day to day. But I do applaud you guys for moving it later in the month. I think that'll give you a better shot at potentially having better weather there instead of right at the first of the month. But we'll see. It was 80 degrees at my house yesterday in Southern Tennessee. So yeah. Who knows? But I think you guys will, you're going to smash at Eufaula. What event for you, Eufaula, Alabama, what event are you looking forward to the most? We might have already talked about this before, but which event are you most excited about on that schedule?
That's a good question. You know, I feel like each lake has some things that I'm looking forward to, right? And Eufaula, just starting out the gate, and how big of a fish are we going to catch? But, I mean, look at Toledo Bend. We got a Toledo Bend.
Buddy.
4 weeks later, and they just caught a 15-pounder there.
You know? That's what I was going to say. I keep up. Toledo Bend has like not a share lunker deal, but something similar like a lunker club or whatever. I keep up with it on Facebook. Yeah. And the last like 3 weeks, it's like 10, 11, 12, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
Kicking them out this year, man.
Yeah, they smashed them at that Bass Champs event. You know, I would, if I had to pick a lake, I would probably say Bugs Island, just because of the history and the layoff we've had there. I mean, we haven't been there since like 98, and I think it was a top 100 or whatever we had back then, maybe an invitational, something like that. But it, you know, I don't know why we haven't been there. It's such a big lake, and I'm curious about that one. That one's going to be, that one's got the intrigue for me.
In 98, I think David Wharton won that tournament. I believe it was an invitational. Gerald Beck called him Swindle. I remember that because I can remember the TNN show of that. He used to have it on play, and Gerald wearing his vest with all of his sponsors on it, skipping like the redneck he is.
That one's going to be interesting. You know, Waddington, they'll absolutely hammer them. You know, the one thing, the interesting thing about Waddington, though, is we're not letting them go into the lake. So it's an alert for anybody who doesn't know that yet. They're not doing that. You know, Ozark's going to be top water. You know, Watts Bar is going to be by far the toughest fishing. You know,
they'll say Watts Dar.
So, but. No. We've seen those tough fisheries. I mean, you look at like Red River last year, or, you know, I'm trying to think of like Chesapeake Bay, how tight it makes it. So
I love those the most, honestly. Slugfest are cool. That's great. But I think you have to earn it, especially in the fall. Right. That's something I've always loved about the Opens. You compete in the fall. It's kind of like that nation championship as well. It's decided in the fall. I love that because it brings it out, man. You've got to step up.
There'll be some sweating going on that one, for sure.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I joke about Watts Gar. Watts Bar is one of the most, and has been one of the most fantastic fisheries in the state for the past several years. Don't know what's going on there. There is something, even in the spring last year, some of the weights were just off, but it seems like they're still catching big ones there. I mean, we had one over seven weight in during the MPFL there in May. Right. I mean, a lot of good fish. Are you guys going to let them lock, or are they on Watts Bar?
They're locked to Watts Bar. Yep. Yep. You know, it's a lot of water there, and you know,
a lot of water,
but we've seen chick get tough that time of year too. You know, it's just, listen, it just gets tough.
Where you live gets tough. Where I live gets tough. You get past August, September, you're just in for it. Like, you'll see some days in there that are okay, but you know what you're getting into. It's like Smith, like all the dude, it's brutal. Yeah. Like, it's grind time because they're just moving and it's it's crazy. So we were talking about Little Will Davis leading the first day at Seminole as we record this. It's day two. What kind of sense of pride do you get when when a guy from the Opens or a guy from the nation does well?
Yeah. Like, I mean, like Latuso last week at Okeechobee, you know, I'm like, man. And I just think about it's just such about everything happening when it's supposed to be. People probably quickly
got in, right? Barely got in.
If he didn't catch that 32-pound bag at Rayburn on day two, he's not in the elites, you know, and James Niggemeier is. Those are those stories. Not to jump back on that side rail, but that we're going to be following all year. That's just going to be crazy. But yeah, I mean, super proud for Will, and You know, he kid's a hammer, being from Alabama, we know. And he's from close to where I grew up. He's from Sylacauga. I'm from Wetumpka. And that's right in between Lay Lake and Lake Martin. So I've been around the Davis crew for a long, long time. And, if he could get there, he'd be able to compete. So hopefully he has a good tournament. I mean, he's in good position right now. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, I know for you guys, and I know it's the same for Bose and was sending the guys to the Opens, when they come into the Elites and they have a good one or they win one, or because it's guys that you may have spent 3 or 4 years getting to know, like Josh Douglas. I know when Dougie finally made it, you guys were probably just elated for him like so many people were, because you know what they go through. You guys see it, live it, and breathe it.
You do. It's kind of like almost a finality of their story, right? It's the – oh man, you know, when you're going through it, you don't know how the story's going to end. And then when they finally get there, you're like, yep, that was a good ending, you know. Or sometimes when they don't get there, you're kind of like, yep, that was a good ending, because you just need to hang it up, man. I hate to say that, but sometimes that's just like, that's how it is. I mean, I couldn't do it, you know. It's just sometimes people are, so it's,
just because you like to bass fish. Just because you like to tournament fish does not necessarily mean you need to fish the Elite Series or try to fish the Elite Series, because I can tell you right now, through personal experience, and I've been very competitive my whole life fishing. I love it. I feel like I can find fish, catch fish. That Opens deal, boy, when I jumped in a few of them the last couple of years, I'm like, oh, these boys in their 20s are taking this a little more serious than I used to.
Yeah, you look at like Tanner Ward, a kid from Tarleton State. He almost qualified through the Southerns last year. He's still in college. You look at like a Tucker Smith, you know. And it's I didn't even realize. That's what I was going to say earlier when you were talking about that. Even though I've been at bass since 2011, I didn't even realize how hard it was until I really got hands-on in the dirt with these guys and really watched them compete and live their story with them last year. I mean, it is, like you said, it's hard to explain other than if you do it. And for those who make it, man, it's job well done and well-deserved for sure.
No doubt about it. So what kind of drama can we expect this year for you, Hank? Let's talk about that. I mean, will there be
none? Everybody's good. Well,
first of all, I'm going to say Trey's got his insurance. Trey's got his insurance. Nobody's got ropes.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. New rule.
New rule.
If you noticed that.
New rule. Yeah. Notice that. New rule.
You can't change a rule mid-season, but we can add to rules at the end of the season for sure.
Yeah. Those rules, when you get it named after you, those are the I used to joke about the Scott Martin rules in FLW, because he was always just like ahead of the curve. And it's like, oh, by the way, Roland was that way with bass too, right? Like, oh, we can't do that. Yeah. What was it? The jet boat thing. Yep. With Roland that time. And it was like, oh, can't do that anymore. That's a Roland rule. You know?
If you go, you can really, like, especially we notice it because we know the history of it. But if you go and look in our rules and you see, like, something that is not out of place but almost seems like it was, like, put in this specific spot, there's usually a reason and an angler behind why we did that, right? And so we've been crafting them since 1967. So it's one of those things that – go back to even Ray Scott. He always said, these are your rules for the season. They may change next year, but we're not going to change them mid-season. And I think most of your main tournament organizations operate that way. But drama for me, golly, I don't know. None. Everybody's going to read all the rules. They're going to know the rules. They're going to be on time. They're going to do what they're supposed to do. Right.
You'll have drama at all nine. You know that. There will be drama. Somebody don't have a fishing license. Somebody don't have insurance, Trey Swindle, if you're listening. And I know you still feel bad about that one.
That was awful. Breaker. I've had some calls, and that one was probably still to this day, and I hope it stays that way. It wasn't a tough call, and I know Trey knows that, but it was a hard call. You know, it was
tough.
Right. You know, it's – you get would have done it to anybody, KVD, whoever, you know.
Yeah, it's black and white, right? The rules have to be. But then there is that human element that comes into it with a guy like you. You're a good guy. And you feel for somebody like Trey, man. You know what he puts into it. Good kid. And he legitimately had a chance to go to the Classic. What I love, being one of his friends in life, and somebody – he's like my nephew, so I tell him all the time. He's like – Well, he's the same age as my stepdaughter, so it's weird that we hang out, to be honest. But he I give him a lot of crap, but the insurance thing has become such a great joke for us to pester him about. And he's good with it now. And I think Trey will I think he'll make some noise this year. I really hope. He has put together from a skill standpoint. And it's stuff like that I think people don't realize when you talk about like the insurance thing or some of the fine details. You can have it on the water, but to be a professional, and this is a conversation Trey and I had the week after, and I maybe even said it on here, you have to pay attention to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Be a professional, whether it's making sure you are being what you need to be on and off the water as a human, as a promoter, whatever. But it's making sure you've got all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted, because when that door swings open, you dang sure want to make sure you can run through it if that is what you are trying to do for your livelihood. And there's zero room for error, man, no matter what. So I think that was a hard life lesson for him. But I think that for a lot of people, it was eye-opening. And I think for Trey, I honestly think he got more out of it than he would have if he'd won.
That's what I was going to say, man. Just think about what he did.
So many people, and it showed absolutely. His character, you know?
Absolutely. Character. I mean, let's just go back to the day it happened. He waited, went out and watched his buddy on the water.
Amazing.
And then talked about it on stage. And I looked at him and I said, Trey, you don't have to do this. You know, we even went over, like, what we were going to talk about, you know, and we by no means – made him do that. He did not have to do that, but he did it anyways. And how many people became fans or learned about Trey Swindle at that point? So yeah, total character move. And yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do. Kid's got some talent. I mean, y'all sacked him up at ABT 100, didn't you?
Listen, a few weeks ago. I got to catch two of the five we weighed in that day. But I've actually got a video that's going to go up on the channel that shows how great of a net man I am. That morning, he was catching that little lake right there, buddy.
Oh, it's a secret.
Yeah. I'm getting back.
We tried to take a college bracket there a few years ago, but you don't have any service to where we could do live. And all the Wadawi anglers thank us for that, because had that happened, you know. There'd be a lot more people.
ABT weigh-in, there were a lot of people, and they're like, hey, we don't appreciate you guys being here.
Yeah, you need to leave. Get out of here. You
need to get out of here. Such a diverse fishery. But yeah, Trey's got talent, man. He's like Gerald in that shallow water game, but he's also got that, you know, that new age, the live scope, the 360, being able to graph them, and he can focus up on just graphing all day, which I'm terrible at. You know, that's one thing that
I don't have the patience for it. I want to catch when I get on the water.
I want to fish. Yeah, I want to fish. That's my deal. But yeah, I can tell you that Trey and I've had a little success fishing together. We mesh well together, but it's fun watching the decision making process, man. And it's rejuvenated me, dude. I'll be honest. Like fishing with him, I get all fired up. He's calling me about new tackle he's hearing about, different things. I'm like, yeah, okay. It helps my near 40-year-old butt get in gear sometimes, but
it's like the Josh Douglas story. I'm ready to learn the finality of the Trey Swindle story through the open.
And I really do hope that one day it ends up with him being on the elites before G gets out of there. I think that would be amazing to have
him
on the elite series and to watch him whip G's butt in the elites would be a good time. Which that man right now, I don't know if anybody that watches Low Budget Live is paying attention. Gerald ain't. He's not dead yet.
He seems really focused this year.
That man, he had a great first day at Seminole, great event down there at Okeechobee.
Okeechobee, yep.
For sure, man.
He's really focused, yep.
Well, so to close, Hank, I always appreciate you, man. I appreciate Bass. You guys are always great to me. And I've loved getting to fish with you guys. And I really do hope that I maybe get to play around in this nation deal a little bit.
I
do want to get back to fishing some opens. This year was not the year for me taking on a new position at TH Marine. I don't know which ends up. I barely have time to film this podcast these days. But I gotta give you a hard time. I gotta say, just
I saw it earlier.
I wore this just for you because for the first time since I've known you, I can say we basically just beat you guys at everything.
Right. Everything. We don't stand a chance at beating Tennessee at anything.
Not in Knoxville. Not in Knoxville has your number. You might not want to come to the Classic. You might want
to
send somebody else up there.
Or you know, if you're playing fantasy, pick all Tennessee anglers. Don't pick an Alabama angler because that ain't happening this year for sure. No way.
Listen, yeah. don't do that. There's some juju around Knoxville right now. Good old Rocky Top.
Yeah.
Well, Hank, I appreciate you, man. I applaud you guys for continuing to move forward and make changes. I think we've got to because this sport's been around forever, and if we don't make changes, I just don't think that's good. I don't. Right. I think we got a lot of young anglers coming into this deal, and we got to keep moving and keep progressing. So, you know, shout out to you guys for doing that, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. Yeah, you know, you got to make what you think is the right change. We don't know. You know, we're pretty confident it's going to be a good change. Like you say, you don't just change to change, but you know, we know what our foundation is, and we feel like this is a tweak. Change is not fun, but you know, let's get into it. And I think it's going to be good. But yeah, man, love the show. I'll be watching. I probably won't watch this one. I don't want to read the comments, but you know, you can share them if you want to later. And yeah,
you guys next week. Yeah, you guys don't hammer Hank too bad and go watch the Opens.
Wayne. I can take it. I'm used to it. So
file all complaints to him in person at Eufaula at Lake Point.
I'll be there.
All right, buddy. I appreciate you.
Yeah, man. See you.
Hank Weldon, everybody. Well, all right. That's all she wrote. Why Hammer and Hank Weldon. I hope y'all enjoyed that. He is he's a great guy, man. He's got his work cut out for him at times. I know dealing with 250 whiny pro fishermen like myself a lot of the times in those opens, I know it gets to be a headache, and the decisions can be tough that you have to make at times, and you throw 250 co-anglers in there as well, 500 at each tournament. He does not have an easy job, and I appreciate him coming on to explain that, because I know there's been a lot of questions, and I do, like I told him there, I do feel like it's a gigantic positive for bass and for the nation, man. I do. I think you're going to get more people involved, and it's just it's like he said, modernizing where everything's headed. So I think it's all good. I think it's all good. Hope y'all enjoyed that. Thanks for tuning in, you bunch of lowlifers. I appreciate each and every one of you every single week, man. I do, from the bottom of my having to get ultrasounded heart. I appreciate y'all very much. Go take you out with some Biloxi Blues. Do not forget the Bassmaster Classic Throwdown Tailgate Parking Lot Party, the low budget live. Y'all come see me. Gonna take you out with some Biloxi Blues. I promise you'll hear that a bunch that night. Let's go. See y'all next week.
I never could make it last.
Sweet.
Spanish moss, a Civil War ghost. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west, north, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.